You can kind of look at this later on as a whole for the whole chapter, but its title is Treasures in Jars of Clay. And I would just like to remind you that when you're saying the Lord's Prayer, you're talking about God's will being done in earth, and this first earth that he works on is you and me. Okay? We're made out of that clay. So that's what he's really saying. But I want you to look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose hope or lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, which usually we look at the problem, but on what is unseen, meaning the realm of the spirit, like that ladder. Okay? For what is seen is temporary. Like your ladder, man, yours is a real one, it's temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. In other words, that spiritual ladder, Tina's going to have it as many years as she is existing in this realm, as well as on the other side. You say, you mean I'm going to be growing in knowledge? Yes. Even on the other side, you're going to be learning more and more. Now, it might be wise just to make you aware that number 5, when the letter was written, wasn't there. So he says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Well, Yvonne, your hubby has that heavenly dwelling, and I'm sure he's wearing it well and saying, I don't miss the old one at all. Amen. Yes. Amen? Amen? Those of you who don't know, Yvonne lost her man. And it's lonely down here when we lose somebody. Yes. And that is something that happens to all of us. But now the verse that's following, I want you to kind of take a good look. So back it up to verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. I could probably dissect that. But I believe God has made it very, very clear that his purpose is at stake. Everybody that I know is concentrating on this earth tent. The right foods, the right chemicals, the right times, the right for bedtime, the right to get up at the right time. Actually, they'll drive you right into some form of schizophrenia, because if you listen to one group, they're going to give you this. Another group is going to give you that. And another group is going to give you that. Would you listen to the Lord? Would you go back to his word? And not worry so much about this outer garment. It's very handy. But when it's hurting like crazy, it's no fun. Irene and I went to the specialist yesterday. He gave her 4 shots in her back. 2 on each side of her spine. Got up this morning and no results. But that we knew that, you know, it might take as much as a week to 10 days. She says, you know, the concentration of focus that we have, because we both looked at each other, we prayed, we asked God for grace, we went to the doctors that they told us would help. But in reality, it's just been one challenge after another challenge. And the Lord said, these are light afflictions. How many know when you're going through them, they don't feel light at all? They feel like they weigh 3 tons. And you get hunched over. And it hurts. And when the pain is there, you're not thinking about your sweet by and by tent. You're thinking about this tent. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And when your tent is lonely, that don't help either. But we will be clothed. We will be covered. Our nakedness will be taken care of on the other side as well as on this side. So, it's going to be swallowed up by life. Well, when you and I are swallowed up by fear, what happens? You go, yes, Tina, right on target. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says God did not give you a spirit of fear. So that should tell you who the fear is from. And I remember being very upset one day, and I said, Lord, this tension that I'm feeling and the thought patterns that are in my head are creating all kinds of torment. And he reminded me, it's not coming from me. So why are you even thinking about it? Why are you concentrating on it? Well, it's what my family did. They taught me well. Oh, close the door. It's cold outside. Everybody's going to have a cold. Put an extra pair of mittens on. Your hands are going to be frozen and you'll have arthritis. What a blessing. Put another jacket on. You're going to catch a cold. Am I the only one that had those instructions? All right. So you were brought up with it. So what do you do with it? You keep on teaching your kids. But if you're smart, you'll change the pattern. You know, we have this wonderful tent that's coming to us that's going to be full of life. But look at verse 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Why the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is a gift. It's a starting point. It's not the finishing product. The Holy Ghost will take you through life and fill you more and more and more until you're bubbling over. You say, well, I don't get it. Well, those of you who watched Carrie after we prayed saw the Holy Ghost start bubbling out of her. Okay? And all of a sudden, she loses control. And everybody thinks she's a little weird. Well, I've known her for many, many years. I can tell you I'm related. So her and I are weird, along with a few others here. What I'm also saying is that it's God that's in charge. And he has a plan, and it's going to be a good thing. If he gave us a deposit, he's also going to give us the fullness. Amen?
Amen.
Why should he give us just a starting point if not he's planned to take us to the finish line? 6, therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, I remember being under a fear anointing, such as I was brought up with, thinking, oh my God, he's going to expose all my sins. How can he do that when he already erased them?
Amen.
He can't do that. So what is the judgment seat of God for? What is he really speaking about? St. Paul must be having a little bit of an inkling here of what he wants us to grasp. And I remember years ago, a man of God saying to me, Kim, you're called to counsel. Well, I had no clue what that meant. And I learned quickly that it was the truth that, yes, ever since I was a very young man, people would be drawn to me with all their problems. And they would unload every headache they've ever had. Whether they were emotional headaches or physical headaches, they all came to me. I was the one that would listen. Well, I didn't realize nobody else like was, you know, really like that. And I must have been one of a kind. He said, Kim, you have the spirit of counsel on you. I do. Well, I didn't know what the spirit of counsel was. You know, what does that eat in wintertime? You don't know if you ain't, you know, got a clue of what you got. But if you get to learn from God's word that these are gifts from the Holy Spirit, they're deposits. Okay, so what did God do? He deposited that gift in me before I was born. He let me grow up with it, and I think everybody's like me.
Amen.
Yeah, unique. But the tormentor, when he fills you with lies and fear, he accuses you that there's something wrong with you because your friends aren't like you. Okay? And I can kind of spill the beans on you, girl.
Yep.
This girl calls me when I was actually now listening to what the Holy Spirit had done, because I sold my business, etc., and began to work at Grace Church of Christ, and a phone rings and this lady wants to talk to me. So I'm talking about Carrie, and she's sitting in my office at Grace Church, and I remember we put a cassette in and began to talk and pray, and she unloaded some of her situations, and I ended up telling her, you're going to be working with me. And that bubbled right out of my mouth. And if anybody would have said that I was, you know, aware of the word of knowledge at the time, I would have told you, well, I knew a little bit about it, but did I understand that it was going to be a 30-something year experience?
Yes.
Okay? No, I didn't know that. So she laughed and she says, well, maybe. And of course, the rest is history. She ended up working with me for a number of years, and it was all God. She was a gift, and I, you know, I can tell you she was a gift to me. She'd say, well, Kim's a gift to me too. So we're a gift to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the body of Christ is for. So look at your neighbor. Say, you're a gift to me, whether you know it or not.
You're a gift to me, whether you know it or not.
Whether you realize it or not.
Whether you realize it or not.
Even when you're a pain.
Even when you're a pain.
You're still a gift.
You're still a gift.
It's God's workmanship that's at stake here. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, why? Because you've got a deposit. Well, I didn't realize when I started speaking in tongues that someday I was going to be a counselor, and then someday I would end up with a word of knowledge, and someday I would end up being a pastor because I didn't want the job. Why doesn't anybody want to be a pastor? Pastor Yvonne? Because everybody talks about the pastor. Yeah, well, everything that goes wrong at the church is the pastor's fault. Right? He doesn't even know how to pass the vacuum right. Come on. It's awful quiet in here.
We're reminiscing on all the things we've ever seen.
Yeah! But in case you forgot, before I got this job, I was doing the same thing. And I would get the phone calls from every irritated pastor and also the irritated people. And we'd have to be patching. Me and her were the patch-ups. We'd patch them up with the Word of God. Oh, well, you can't do that to the pastor. He's this, he's that. Yeah, but if you only knew what he did to me. And they all felt that he was wrong, and he did this wrong, and he did that wrong. And Carrie and I, we did the Band-Aid work. One Band-Aid after another. All this to say, when we appear before the judgment seat of God, he's going to say, did you get satisfied with the first deposit? Did you get satisfied with the second deposit? I just gave you three or four of mine. Did you get satisfied with the third deposit or the fourth deposit? Is he done? No, he's not. He's going to unload on you all the deposits of his spirit, all seven of them. And he's going to fill you with his capacity, which is his grace. That's his plan for you. And I can tell you right now, I've said, no, Lord, not anymore, because the persecution is awesome, and I don't want any more persecution. I've had enough. But I'm not in my right mind right now, Lord. I'm not in my right mind. Please forgive me. Oh, I didn't mean it. Why? Because we're emotional beings.
Amen.
Okay? So close your eyes right now. Put your right hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, whatever you have in me now, there's room for more.
These deposits you've made.
I want more. Because when I stand before Jesus, he's going to look at me and he'll say, were you willing to go all the way? Or were you satisfied with one little gift? Or two little gifts? It's up to me to unload what I think about the gifts and turn that over to my Father, because God knows how many deposits he's prepared. But God, I'm getting old already.
I'm not saying that.
How many more deposits are you going to bring? See, the number's not important. We've got a 14-year-old back there who's saying these same prayers as you. Why? Because we all think, oh, well, I'm reaching a certain age. I'm 70. I can't pray because I'm getting old. That's silly. I'm 50. I can't pray anymore. Baloney. You can pray for all the ones he gives you to pray for.
Amen.
He'll expand your heart and he'll pour in another deposit and another deposit. And you know, I told a friend of mine the other day, even when you get to be 80, like with Moses, he thought it was the end. You know what the average age when Moses was in the earth for a man?
26. What? 26.
47. 47 was the average age. If you lived to 47, you were a very old man. Here he is, 80, going up on the mountain, and the Lord said, I'm sending you back to Egypt. You're going to be the deliverer you thought you were. At 80? Yeah. And he kept him at it for 40 more years. A few more deposits, huh? Lift up both hands to him. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Did you get the message? Let him do whatever he wants. Let him pour in what he wants. Let him put in the deposits that he needs tonight. So Holy Spirit, drop in what you want to deposit in every heart tonight so that your name will be glorified. And Lord, you have a plan. Every deposit will bring in fruit. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
Yeah, I know. You can sing the song on the way home. Remember, you gave him permission. Amen. Blessings to all of you. Blessings to all of you. Blessings to all of you. Blessings.